certainly an honor to be in the Lord's house this afternoon. You didn't have to be here last night or yesterday or this morning to know that the Lord was here.
Amen.
That's very evident by the song service that we just had. And I'm always thankful when the Lord is present. Without that, we have nothing, we are nothing.
Yes, amen.
There's no blessing in the absence of the Lord.
That's right.
I want to take just a few minutes, the Lord permitting and your gracious allowing me to do this, to look at a couple of verses of Scripture and give us something that I hope will be fuel for thoughts in days to come. If you have your Bibles, turn with you to the 5th chapter of the Galatian letter. I was reading something a day or so ago, a list of behaviors of the born-again Christian. And so I thought, well, this will be interesting. Let's see how I fit in this list. I wish I could remember all of them. There were about 15 of them, but they went something along the lines of the born-again Christian is forgiving. The born-again Christian is merciful. The born-again Christian is long-suffering. There was a list of those behaviors. And the implication was that the born-again Christian is always those things. And so when I got to the end of the list, I began to question, maybe I'm not a born-again Christian. Because we are not always those things. And I wonder sometimes if some born-again Christians are those things even 25% of the time.
Right.
But the truth is, the born-again Christian can be those things.
Yes.
Because God has given them the ability to be those things.
Amen.
In the 5th chapter of Galatians, there is a verse of Scripture that has an interesting ending. The Apostle Paul writing here, let's look at the 18th verse. This is important to be reminded of. Paul says, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." Well, let me remind us that we're always under some law.
Right. Yeah.
We are never without law.
Right. Yeah.
It's just that for that elect child of God, somewhere along the way there, God put us under a different law.
Right. Yeah.
And He freed us from the previous law. And so then He begins to talk about the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. We're very familiar with the works of the flesh, which are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. And I'm not going to read all of those, but you can go down through a list of the works of the flesh there, those things that we're very familiar with. In the 22nd verse, he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law."
Mm-hmm.
Well, I find that to be an interesting statement, that there must have been some time in the past where those things were against the law. A time in our past where we were not able or permitted to do those things. If you would turn with me to the 8th chapter of the Roman letter, and I want to get a verse or two here. The 7th verse of the 8th chapter says this: "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be."
Right.
Okay. Now, I've always found that verse to be very interesting, and for a long time just didn't grasp the concept there that the Apostle Paul is giving us. How can anything be not subject to the law of God. How could anything be outside of God's authority? Well, it's not saying that those things are outside of God's authority, but I think what it's saying is that those things, let me get the verse again, make sure we understand how it's worded. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. All things are subject unto God.
Amen.
Yes.
But not in the same way.
Right.
Even the wicked are subject to the law of God.
Right. Amen.
They are subject to His authority and ultimately subject to His judgment.
Yes. Right.
The elect of God are subject to the law of God, but in a different way. Okay? So if we have these two groups of behaviors, the behaviors of the wicked, adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, all of those things there, and then we have the fruits of the Spirit, which are born by those, or manifest by those, born of God, the wicked cannot manifest the fruits of the Spirit.
Right.
They are not subjects of the law of life and liberty in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We were all subjects to the law of sin and death.
Yes. Yes.
The wicked remain under that law, but the elect of God have been freed from that law and are now subject to a new law and are under the law of life and liberty in Christ Jesus, meaning they are free to do these things which at one point in their existence they could not do, nor were they subject to.
Amen.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Sort of strange to think it would be against the law to have faith in God. Against the law to be merciful and long-suffering and gentle. But the wicked do not have the capacity of those things.
Right.
Back up in the beginning of this 8th chapter, and Paul reminds us there, he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Okay? Paul says that this law, which is greater, has made me free from this law which held me in bondage, which kept me under the eternal judgments of God, which kept me in a place that I could not serve God, did not have the capacity, the desire, the ability, or any inkling toward those things of God. Yet now I'm free.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. You ever... You ever open the cage that maybe your dog is in, and they don't come out?
Yeah,
that's because you've left them there a little bit too long. They're comfortable there. They're used to that. They feel safe there. I wonder sometimes if people fuss, cuss, carry on, live a sinful life, because they feel safe there.
Yeah.
Not realizing the door has been opened.
Amen.
And they're free. This animal with the cage door open is as free as that dog that's running wild in the pasture.
Right.
Yeah.
He just doesn't know it.
Yeah. Yeah.
He doesn't see the difference in his situation. Now, I truly believe that when a child of God is born again, he is different.
Amen.
Yep. Amen.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You're not the same as you were in your sins. You're not the same as you were when that old flesh was the only thing that you had.
That's right.
You have the ability to do all of these things that God has now given to you that are now in your capacity, all of these righteous and holy behaviors, yet it's hard to do. You know, I trust that all of you at some point have heard someone say, I just can't forgive that person. What they did is so terrible, so grievous. Well, if they're a born-again child of God, you know what? They can forgive that person. They just don't want to. They're wanting to stay within the confinements of that hatred and that anger as long as they can because they're comfortable with that. They know how to deal with that. They know how to live in the cage. Brother, what I'm telling you this morning, you are free from the law of sin and death and all the consequences of it. And that is not just an eternal lesson that we know that by the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ that one day we'll stand in His presence and be free from these old mortal bodies, that we have an eternal blessing waiting us. That is a lesson that while we live here, we can act like it.
Amen. That's right.
And so my admonition to you is to let go of the behaviors of the flesh. I wish we could let go of them completely. You know, Paul said, when I would do good, evil's present with me. We'll have those inclinations, those desires, those temptations, those abilities of sinfulness until the day we die. But they do not rule our lives.
Amen.
They do not control us.
Right.
Now, you cannot live your life without sin. Only Christ did that. But we have the ability to resist sin.
Amen.
And to turn away from particular sins. We have the ability. There is no law against forgiveness. And you can forgive and love and have mercy and long-suffering and charity against those that have behaved in such a way against you that the old flesh would never dream of.
Amen.
Let us be the children that God has made us to be.
Amen.
And let us behave in such a way that God is glorified in that. I appreciate your attention this morning. I appreciate your time, or this afternoon, your time, and I do pray for those two brethren who are to come after us. Come ahead. Before we go any further, y'all bow with me. I'd like to offer prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we come this afternoon, gathered together as the saints are commanded to be, gathered together, we trust in your presence. Father, lift it above the things of this life for a little season of time. We pray that our minds and hearts will be freed from all fears and worries, and we just see heavenly things and feel your heavenly presence. Father, I thank you for this church, for this fellowship, all the churches that are represented here. Father, I thank you for blessing us through the past few years, especially very difficult time. But Father, you have given us the desire and the ability to assemble and come together. And Father, I just pray that you'll prosper the church here in this world in your spirit, that you'll deliver us from our enemies, that the Word of God would always have free course and not be hindered by the wiles of Satan or the desires of men. But Lord, you might open our eyes and our hearts and our minds to these things and let us know that we can walk as Christians, as children of God, before you, and we don't have to act like the world does. Lord, let us be unspotted from the things of the world. Bless these two dear brethren who are to come after, that they will have your spirit and your uplifting grace and an open door under the very throne room of God. Forgive us of our shortcomings and direct our steps. And these things, Father, we pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
Amen.